Unfortunately, we're going to be leaving Ephesus. There's quite a bit of excitement there in that city. And we will we'll travel on with Paul. We'll read verses 1 through 12 of Acts 20. How exciting. What's next in the adventures of the Apostle Paul, and then how to draw some application tonight. So I think I would just call this, and we will not get very technical tonight at all. There is ample opportunity for technicality when you're talking about travels and you're talking about friends and where these people came from and how they all got together at the same place and time, and probably won't go in there. We'll just marvel that it happened the way it did. But I'd like to speak regarding the recipe for a healthy Christian life. I think we see some things here that were in place with the apostle, and these are God's gracious gifts to us, and we'll just look at it. But let's read first, beginning there with verse 1. After the uproar had ceased, so the uproar, the dust quite hadn't settled there in Ephesus. It was quite a bit there in the proverbial rearview mirror as they were leaving. So after the uproar had ceased, Paul sent for the disciples. And when he had exhorted them and taken his leave of them, he left to go to Macedonia. And when he had gone through those districts and had given them much exhortation, he came to Greece. And there he spent 3 months. And when a plot was formed against him by the Jews, as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. And he was accompanied by Sopater of Berea, the son of Pyrrhus, and by Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia. But these had gone on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas. We sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came to them at Troas within 5 days, and there we stayed 7 days. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered together. And there was a young man named Eutychus sitting on the windowsill, sinking into a deep sleep. And as Paul kept on talking, he was overcome by sleep and fell down from the third floor and was picked up dead. But Paul went down and fell upon him, and after embracing him, he said, "Do not be troubled, for his life is in him." And when he had gone back up and had broken the bread and eaten, he talked with them a long while until daybreak and then left. They took away the boy alive and were greatly comforted. The word of the Lord. So, as you could tell through the reading, there's quite a bit of going on here, is coming and going, and then extra people, disciples there in verse 4 are mentioned. Paul is in the midst of his third, this is the third missionary journey. And he is, he's wanting to get back to Jerusalem with a collection that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 16 for the Jerusalem church. And then, as you well know, he has his sights set on Rome, if not Spain, as far as taking the gospel to those areas. The Lord, as you read through and follow the apostle, the Lord is very gracious in blessing not only Paul in his endeavors, but even Peter before him, and then believers. God, I think, builds things into the Christian life that may help make it livable. Some of these things may be more practical than others, but all necessary for a healthy Christian life. So let's just jump in there. The first thing I notice is that Paul is, God has Paul on a path. There's nothing haphazard, though you read different places. You can look at the map. We don't have to turn there tonight, but there's a lot of stops along the way. And it looks like a, it looks like an arduous journey. It looks like this is not easy getting from one place to another. And a lot of times he's walking, and sometimes he's on a boat, and he encounters, and we'll see this even more as we come to the end of the book of Acts, stormy weather, and there's all kinds of things, but God has him on a path. And I think that's where the blessing of the Christian life starts, is on the path. And that path is entered through a narrow gate, and that path is a narrow way. And I think I would sum it up, the path that is, with salvation first and foremost through Jesus. And then I would say sanctification and service. It shouldn't escape our attention that Paul is, he is in the process, he is being, even apostles had to be sanctified, and they were engaged in that. But Paul is also serving the Lord as he's on that path. So the narrow path, it's the way of truth, it's a way through Jesus, and then coming to the understanding that God has you, he has placed you where you are to serve him. He's placed you where you are to receive salvation through Christ, and then to be sanctified, to grow in the likeness of Jesus in this life. And then I want to stress the importance of that understanding. And the importance of it is as Paul well knew, he was going to his death. That's where he's headed. And unless it really escapes our notice, we're headed the same direction. And all of this, that path is preparation for death. And to be, as Paul would say, poured out as a drink offering. And to look back and say, I have no regret about the path that God's had me on. I have no regrets about the service that he has allowed me to be involved in. And I think a lot of Westerners miss that, because we think, you know, it's a consumer mentality. Just bless me. Well, there's hardship, and we should not be afraid of hardship. And there's fatigue, and we should not be afraid of fatigue. We should just step up and say, God, how do you want to use me? And then be available to him. And then in all that, what does he do? Miraculously, he strengthens us. He gives us the joy, unspeakable joy, even in the midst of life on the planet. So the path is the first thing. It just kind of comes up, and we've been on that path with Paul here, and you have your path. I like, I don't know why this came to mind, but the psalmist said this. He said, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. And that really is true. I think when you come to that point where you can say, you know, you're not trying to make your own way in life. It doesn't mean you're passive. It just means you're looking for God's open door, and by faith you go through that door. And I think we can say when you're on the path, whether there's hardship, suffering, whatever that is, service, you can say the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. God has put me in a good spot, and I'll take it, and I'll run with it, and I'll serve Him. And serving Him until the day that you no longer can serve Him. So that's the first thing. Secondly, I think necessary for any healthy spiritual life is friends, Christian friends. Right there it is, verse 1. Paul sent for the disciples. Surprise, surprise. He had just been through all kinds of hullabaloo in Ephesus. What does he do before the smoke clears? He sends for the disciples. That's really special. I think he's drawing strength from these disciples. I think he sees the value of Christian friends in his life. And what's he doing? He's not running from them. He sent for them. Come, be here. You're valued. Your input, your insight, your spiritual wisdom, your strength, all of that is helpful to you and I as we look at brothers and sisters around us. It's helpful and valued in our journey. We should say that, you know, I used to say this, but it's so cliche and so dumb, but I'll say it again. There's no Lone Rangers. In this, even Lone Ranger had Tonto. Okay, that's dumb. But that's, you need a friend. I mean, you need friends. I mean, value Christian brothers and sisters and on your path, value them and invite them to speak into your life. That's a big deal. Even the Apostle Paul sent for disciples. That should tell us something. So he did that. And then Paul being Paul, the Bible says he exhorted them. I understand his exhortations could go on for some time. We'll get to that. But he must be on a roll there in verse 1 and all the way through verse 12. But he exhorted them. So the necessity not only of the path that God sets you on and sets in front of you, the course, running the course, staying the course, but the disciples, the Christian friends, you need those more than you know. And I would say I'd say very humbly, the older you get, the more you realize how precious Christian friends are. And then he exhorted them. It's good to have those speaking the word of God into your life, even when you know a bunch. Even when you know a bunch. I mean, a timely word from someone else. You know, as a parent, Linda and I always thought, we love, anyone speaking into our kids' life, is so valuable, so desired. I mean, they hear it from you. They hear it from you. That's good, but they really need to hear it from someone else as well. And that's really important. So he exhorted them, preaching. If we tie Peter's letter, it's the rhema word, the preached word. We really don't do a whole lot of differentiation concerning the Word of God, but the Bible does, not really in our English translation, but like Romans 10, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So is that logos or rhema? Would it help to know? It's rhema. You need to hear it. You need to hear it. And I'm pretty certain Paul got to hear it when these guys got together. So he continues on. You know, Ephesus would have been enough to at least cause anyone to hesitate a little bit, or, you know, maybe Paul would have put in for a sabbatical or something after Ephesus. Like, just, you know, 3 months off, a nice beach. Doesn't even have to, you know, doesn't even really have to have a hotel there. Just a beach would be nice compared to what he went through in Ephesus. But he just keeps on the path. And that's really, really powerful. So we read on. When he had gone through those districts and given them much exhortation, he came to Greece, and there he spent 3 months. And there was a plot formed against him by the Jews as he was about to set sail for Syria, and he decided to return through Macedonia. So I'm sure it was probably a plot, what, for his death? And the Bible, and here we get to these Christian friends right here. He was accompanied by Sopater of Berea, the son of Pyrrhus, and by Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. So that's very interesting. And then we get to verse 5, but these had gone on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas. We sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came to them at Troas within 5 days, and there we stayed 7 days. I don't know what number we're on, but verse 7 is a powerful verse. It says, on the first day of the week. So as you think about your life lived under the Lordship of Christ, receiving salvation in Jesus, receiving the sanctification, and cooperating with the Lord in that sanctification, and then your service to God in that, we make note here that every healthy believer needs to recognize that he needs rest. You need rest. And there it is, the first day of the week. It's the day of Christian rest. We worship on the first day because of the resurrection of Jesus, and because that's the standard set forth by the apostles. And in our worship and in our family time on that day, let's not overlook or neglect the fact that it is a day of rest before God. And we need that. We need rest. And the Bible says not only that, but they gathered together that day. And that's powerful, to gather with other believers, to break bread. And the Bible tells us that Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. Now, that's a message. I mean, he didn't have the New Testament. He had the Old Testament. I guess that makes it better. But that is just, it does remind me, the longest sermon I ever preached was about an hour and 15 minutes. I was really young and not really, I mean, I was clueless. I'll just tell you. I mean, I preached the word, but I was clueless. It was an Easter Sunday. And I say an hour and 15, and I think I'm cutting that close. I mean, I think it might have been more like an hour and a half. And I was preaching on the two on the road to Emmaus. And the where I really went, like, was when Jesus took them through the prophets. And I thought that was the green light from heaven to take everyone on that Easter Sunday through the prophets. Not all of them, but maybe three-fourths of them. And just talk about Jesus from the Old Testament. Well, it was like, so we got to, this is so funny. I'll never forget the scene. There are people getting a little like, you know, it's Easter Sunday. And it was. And I really feel for that whole thing. So when the invitation was given and we were standing up, we were going to sing the invitation, there were more people leaving. I mean, it was like, oh, this is, wow, okay. I didn't apologize, but I was like, boy, this is, but there was one guy in the back, and his wife had been coming to church, and she said, you know, my husband's not a believer. He's not a believer, and I'm praying he'll come to church with me on Easter Sunday, and he came. He fought the crowd and came forward. He did. And that Ron was, he was born again. He confessed Jesus. I was like, wow, that was an Easter miracle. I didn't ask how many hams burnt in the oven that day. I dared not. I just, you know, it's one of those things where you just move forward. Just go forward. So anyway, but that was, I don't know why. Oh, it was Paul. He could out-preach anybody. So on the first day of the week, he says, we're gathered. He was talking to them. So the first day of the week, every believer needs rest, and we need that gathering and that worshiping time before the Lord. And so Paul's preaching to midnight. He goes to midnight. And there were many lamps in the upper room. Somebody keep those lamps burning. It's really dark. And there was a young man named Eutychus. Now, Eutychus means good fortune. And it didn't start that way. Well, it started that way, and then it didn't. You know, the middle part was rough because he's in that third floor window and falls asleep. And then he falls out of the window, evidently. But it ends well. So as Paul kept on talking, he was overcome by sleep, that's verse 9, and fell down from the third floor and was picked up dead. Boy, that's rough. But Paul went down and fell upon him, and after embracing him, he said, do not be troubled, for his life is in him. And when he had gone back up and had broken the bread and eaten, he talked with them a long while until daybreak and then left. And they took away the boy alive and were greatly comforted. So, what I get from this is you and I, as believers, need a lot of midnight grace of God. You know, that's about the time you know, if there's something on your mind that can keep you up, you may be involved in prayer at that time. I'm reminded that Jesus did talk a little bit about day and night prayer, especially with the parable of the widow before the unjust judge. But that we really, I think God bestows midnight grace, unexpected things. I mean, who would have ever thought that, you know, some guy would be sitting in a third floor window hearing the Apostle Paul preach and fall asleep, and then he falls out of the window. I mean, that's a downer. And... I mean, how do you recover from that? Stay out of the windowsills. That's how you recover from that. And this, so God's grace is right there all over that situation. And what we don't know is how many times Eutychus told that story, which I'm sure he told it every time he got a chance, that he was listening and then he wasn't. And he was asleep and then he fell. But midnight grace. God, you know, when you least expect it, you know, God's grace is there. God's closeness is there. You know, I don't want to make it, you know, some mystical thing, but it's not. It's the presence of God there in your life, and it's Him bestowing grace when you and I need it. It's a powerful thing. Those things, to me, stand out here as the necessities of the Christian life. And I love that last verse. They took away the boy alive and were greatly comforted. Greatly comforted by this. I can imagine. Yeah, that's a comfort to everybody. But the Lord will bring that grace and He'll bring that comfort to you. Want to encourage you with those things tonight, that God is so good and helpful. And, you know, as we get closer to that time, because Paul was getting closer and he knew it. He was going to Rome. Things were going to get hard. Move forward in confidence and make sure that you embrace everything that God gives us through people and through circumstances, and stay on that path, and He'll take care of the rest. But that's really important. Prayer requests tonight, praises, promises.